Hello, and welcome to the Berwyn United Methodist Church podcast. My name is Pastor Kevin Rutledge, and I'm the pastor here at Berwyn United Methodist Church. Each week, we dive into our weekly worship service, like the opening prayer, the reading of scripture, the sermon, and the pastoral prayer. This week, we take a look at the powerful vision that Isaiah had in Isaiah chapter 6. In a world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed by self-doubt or the magnitude of the world's problems, Isaiah's journey offers us a roadmap, a way to confront the divine, feel the weight of worthiness, and choose to step forward into the unknown. We'll explore how this ancient story resonates with our modern lives and how we answer God's call to action. So get comfortable and let's embark on the journey together. It's time to discover how we can all answer our unique calling with courage and faith. Let's dive in. Would you pray with me?
Gracious and loving God, we stand in your presence, amazed at your holiness, but also amazed at the invitation itself, that you would invite us who are here and broken, who have rebelled against you, and yet you call us and encounter you. So we ask in this time that you should send your spirit among us, soften our hearts, open our ears, help us to hear your voice speaking to us so that in your presence we are transformed. We ask this all in the name of Christ. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Azula died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me."
Years ago, there was a contemporary Christian song written by a group called Mercy Me called "I Can Only Imagine." It's a beautiful song asking how we would respond on that day when we end up at the throne of God, when we end up in the presence of Christ. What will we do? How will we respond? And it's such a beautiful song, and I encourage you to go find it and listen to it. But it raises that question that Isaiah is answering today as well in this passage. Isaiah had such a profound vision of God and God's throne room with angels flying around, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of God's glory." And Isaiah has to figure out how to respond. Isaiah is just watching this unfold, amazed by it all, but he's not having this vision just to see it. He's not having this vision just to say that God is holy, which is something worth knowing and remembering, but that's not the point of why he's there, why God gave him this vision. He's not there just to come back and say, "I've seen the throne room of God, and it truly is magnificent, and I've seen these creatures with wings, with six wings, and they would cover their feet and cover their eyes, and they would fly around, and the foundations of the throne room of God shook with the voices proclaiming God's holiness and singing praise to God. Now that in of itself would be a tremendous vision to share with others. But that's not why Isaiah is there. Isaiah is there because God has a task. He's looking for someone to proclaim his message. He is looking for someone who will go out into the world and share what God wants them to share. And Isaiah, encountering God's holiness, has a choice to make. Because God doesn't just say, I want you, Isaiah, to do this. God is calling out saying, whom will I send? Who will go out for me? Who will share this message? And Isaiah has to respond. In the holiness of God, he could have remained silent. In the holiness of everything that he had seen and his understanding of his uncleanliness, his inability, his unworthiness, he could have shrunk back from such a request, such a call to arms. He could have just remained silent and taken all of God in, and that would have been the end of it all. He could, like so many other in the Old and New Testament and so many of us here, saying, I am not worthy. I do not have what God needs. I am going to hold back. And so because I'm not worthy, I'm certainly not going to volunteer. How many of us heard the call of God? How many of us heard that inner voice, that inner desire to use the gifts that God has given us to go into the world and bless it and transform it? And doubt creeps in, those self-questions, the saying, what do I have? What can I offer? Why would anybody listen to me? How could God possibly use me? I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not eloquent enough. How could God possibly use me? If God only knew what I have done in my past, and if other people had only known what I've done in my past, then surely they would not want to listen to me. As if when God calls us, he's not already aware of who we are and what we've done. There are so many reasons we come up with to explain why we're not the one who should raise our hands and say, God, send me, here I am. And when we do that, we miss out on being a part of what God is doing in the world. God's plan of redemption, God's work at work in the world, bringing transformation. We miss out on being a part of God's grand story because we think we're unworthy even when God is the one calling us. Now in this story, the seraph grabs a hot coal from the altar and touches it to Isaiah's lips and brings cleansing through the burning of the coal. There is a moment that happens in this passage where Isaiah, in spite of his doubts, in spite of him feeling unworthy, something happens that makes him worthy. And it's the act of God through the seraph that does that. Now we, as Christians gathered here today, are offered up the same call. The world is hurting. The world needs someone to proclaim the good news. The world needs someone to cry out against injustice. The world needs someone to use their hands and feet and bring healing and hope and justice and mercy into this world. The same spirit that was alive in this vision is alive and well now, calling out among God's people, saying, I need someone. And so few of us hear the call. So few of us believe we're worthy. So few of us raise our hand and say, here I am, send me. Sometimes we're worried about whether things will work out. If God uses me and I say yes and it somehow fails, is it my fault? If it doesn't work out, it reflects poorly on me. And so why would I volunteer? It's just further evidence that I'm not worthy. But just as Isaiah had that burning call, we who follow Christ have that transformative moment when we have decided to follow Christ wherever he leads us. And through his death on the cross and resurrection, we are made worthy in the eyes of God to do his work. And that worthiness does not disappear. It does not diminish. Simply over time, or because we've done something wrong. That offer of forgiveness that brought us to that point is still offered to us today, and we can always say, God, forgive me. And then we can say, God, use me. We have that defining moment through the power of Christ that makes us worthy, makes us holy, makes us have what we need and that confidence through the Holy Spirit to step out in faith, no matter what's going to happen next, no matter whether it's going to work or not, to say, God, here I am, use me. If you kept reading in this morning's passage, I stopped it at chapter verse 8, and I almost went further. But for this morning, I didn't. I was wrestling with that because it goes on, and Isaiah is given a message that isn't like the message that Jonah was given, we talked about last week, where there was an expectation of repentance and forgiveness and the city kind of coming to God. This was a message that was going to fall on deaf ears. This was a message that was going to fall on hard hearts. This was a message that wasn't going to lead to the salvation of the people. It was a reminder telling that hardships were coming. And Isaiah is left looking at this saying, oh God, how long will this be? How long will this last? How long will your people suffer? Isaiah's message, his outcomes probably wasn't what he was expecting or what we would hope for. Because when we go about our works, we want to see transformed lives. We want to see redemption. We want to see people to come back to Christ. That's one of the reasons why we do it. But that's not up to us. What is up to us is our willingness to say, here I am, use me. That's where our actions start. Following after God and doing what God has commanded is where our actions lie. Whatever happens after that is not up to us. The only thing we can do is be faithful. The only thing we can do is heed the call. The only thing we can do is say, I am here and I will go. And I don't know about you. Sometimes that sounds a little fatalistic. I mean, what's the point if it's not going to work out? What's the point if it's just going to fail? What's the point if it's not going to lead to something that's going to transform the whole world? Why even bother? And there's a way of looking at it that way. But instead, I look at it this way. If everything that happens after I do my part, after I am faithful, is not up to me, then that takes a lot of pressure off of me. If the redemption of the world, if the redemption of a loved one does not rest on my ability to speak well, doesn't rest on me saying the right words or saying the right prayer, if it doesn't rest on me doing the right thing, or being in the right place, but only on me being faithful and everything else rests on God, and all I need to do is be faithful and act and speak. It takes a whole lot of pressure and worry off of us. In a few moments in this service, we're going to recognize and thank the volunteers of the food ministry of this church. I remember when I first got here, it was about 6 months, I believe, after it first started, if I remember correctly, roughly. I got here in 2022 in July. I think it started in that December, roughly. Anyway, people were coming and people were receiving bags of food. It was a vision of Pastor Rodney. But we knew it needed to grow. We knew it needed to transform. It was the way it was serving some need, but I got the sense of speaking to some that it just wasn't there. It looked nothing like it does now. But those initial steps taken to create this ministry, the investment in the resources and setting up the pantry room, the investment in resources and the bags and buying food and getting things running for the first 6 months or 8 months, almost a year, the food pantry was primarily stocked through donations of the people of this church who thought this ministry was worthwhile. And it was run by a handful of people that were active, stocking shelves, organizing, picking food and putting them in bags, and welcoming those who were hungry. It truly was amazing, but at any point along the way, there was no guarantee of success. There was no guarantee that because this ragtag group of people said, "Here I am, use me," would lead to what it is today. And if that was the fear, it would have never started. But along each step, along the way, more and more people have said, "Here I am, use me." The people building and shaping the ministry built relationships with the Chester County Food Bank, which led to food distribution over at Trinity House on a monthly basis, which led to even more people being able to say, "Here I am, use me," as they unload pallets and boxes and sort fresh produce and bag it up and then distribute it with open hearts and smiling faces to those who are hungry and looking for relief. What started, what seemed small with no promise of success, has grown to a place where people can use their gifts and use their desire to serve to reach and bless those who are hungry in our community. And we look forward to sharing a little bit of that story with you in a bit. But it began and functions even today and will become what it will be in the future simply because there is a voice crying out to God's people through the Holy Spirit saying, "There is a need. There are people who are hungry. There are people who feel lost. There are people who are desperate for a long time and people who need a short-term help. Whom shall I send?" And the people that we are going to recognize today have all said at one point, "Here I am, send me," and have brought transformation, healing, hope, respite to so many in our community. And if we as the people of God can do that with this food ministry and the food pantry and the food distribution over at Trinity House, then that is a prime example that what we can accomplish is immeasurable when we heed the call. When we get rid of those feelings of inadequacy and unworthiness and simply say, "Use me." This is the message of Isaiah. This is one of the messages of Isaiah. This is what I pulled out this week. There's so much more in it. But I want you to hear that message now, that God can use you in spite of what you've done, in spite of what you think you are able to do. He is just looking for a willing heart and someone to say, "Here I am, use me." Amen. We gather together as the community of God to worship together, to hear God's word read and proclaimed together, and to pray for one another, to lift one another up, to celebrate joys and ways that God is at work in our world, and to lift up our concerns and our brokenness and our heartbrokenness, where God's will is not yet being done. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all the ways that you have blessed us and all the ways that you remind us of your abiding presence, for all the ways that you remind us that we are not too far gone, that no loved one is too far gone, that there is no way that we can outrun your love for us, that you are constantly pursuing us, constantly calling out to us, constantly inviting us to follow you, to seek after your heart, to be a part of your redemption of the world, to see it where it is hurting, to see where you have given us gifts, and to raise our hands and say, "Here I am, send me." for those times that we have remained silent, for those times that we have heard your prodding call and we have not answered, we ask forgiveness. For those times that we felt afraid or unsure of what our gifts could do, we ask for your courage. For those times when we were worried if we would succeed or fail or look how we would look in another's eyes if we said yes, we asked for assurance. We give you thanks that the redemption of the world does not rest on our shoulders, for you have borne it upon yourself. But you invite us to see the world's brokenness and to be a part of what you are already doing in bringing healing. We give you thanks for the ministries we celebrated this day. We give you thanks for the lives that we touch on a weekly and monthly basis, and the new lives that seek aid that come through our doors and find it through smiling faces, welcoming hands, and serving hands, and through the food that we offer. We thank you that we get to be a part of their story as we listen to it, as we are welcomed into the holiness of their lives and in the midst of their difficulties. Being a part of your transforming work truly is a blessing, not only to those who are receiving the aid, but those who are a part of it. We give thanks as a church for all those who have answered yes and who will do so into the future. We give you thanks for the ways that this community has lifted up those who are hurting, those who are sick and in need of care or unsure of what the next diagnosis may be, for those who are lost and hurting. We lift up them up to you this day. We ask that if there's any way that we can be your hands on your feet or your voice crying out in the wilderness, proclaiming your good news, that this world and all those in it are loved and no one is beyond your forgiveness, and that healing and hope and transformation are possible. Give us strength each day to face the new day, face the new challenges, and to find those moments of holiness and strength that fill each day that go by overlooked, so that we do not become exhausted in running the race that you have set before us, that we do not try to do so on our own power, but we are nourished by your Spirit at work within us, and that we might find respite in the presence of one another. Give you thanks for all of the people in this church who serve in all of the various ways that make everything that we do possible. We pray for our community. We pray for the hungry. We pray for the lost and the broken, the lonely, those who are anxious about where they fit into this world and whether they have a place in it, those who face broken relationships and violence, those who struggle with addiction. The world is certainly not as you have intended it. There is more brokenness than we can even fathom just outside of our doors, and yet you speak words of life. You give us a story to tell, not only to the nations, but to those in our midst, those that we work with, those who we live nearby, those who we cross paths with, even temporarily. May our lives, may our words, may our actions, may our deeds speak of your love, your hope and forgiveness. We pray for our nation. We pray for those who are afraid even now of what the future may hold. We pray for those at work in shaping a future that is a blessing to you, a blessing to the world, a future of justice and of mercy, of forgiveness and of hope, even in the midst of fear, anxiety, and tragedy and war. We pray for those, all people everywhere, who face the threat of violence because of who they are, where they were born, the color of their skin, their gender, or who they love. We long for a day when there is no violence, when there will be no need to build implements of war. But until that day, help us to live into your kingdom and invite others to do so. Help us to step forward in faith and in trust, and help us to live lives that don't add to the injustice of this world, but seek to remedy it. All for your sake and by your power. We pray this day with some requests said aloud and many heavy in our hearts. We have not given voice to all of them, but we trust that your Spirit is interceding on our behalf, speaking to the very things that we could not name. And when our words fail and we have no idea what to say to you, or to say about this world. Let us always turn back to the words that Christ taught his disciples oh so long ago that shapes our prayer even this day as we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thanks again for being here today. We've just wrapped up the main elements of our worship service, and now it's time to dig a little deeper. This week's sermon, based on the book of Isaiah, invites us to wrestle with some profound questions about worthiness, calling, and what it means to step into the unknown. Isaiah's story, with all its doubts and courage, gives us a framework to reflect on our own lives. These moments when we feel unqualified, overwhelmed, or unsure of how to respond. So in this next part of the podcast, we'll be diving into a deep conversation that unpacks these ideas, explores how they resonate with our own journeys, and challenges us to take the first step toward saying yes to the possibilities before us. Let's join the conversation now.
Hey everyone, welcome back, ready for another deep dive. Today we're going to be exploring this sermon based on the book of Isaiah.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful stuff.
It really is, you know, especially how it deals with that whole idea of feeling worthy or unworthy rather, and like how we answer those big calls to action that life throws our way.
That feeling of like, who am I to even try to make a difference? You know, that's something I think everyone struggles with at some point.
Oh, absolutely. And the sermon really dives into that.
Yeah.
Using Isaiah's story as a framework.
Right. Like using his journey to kind of show us a path forward, you know, past those doubts.
So for those of us who might not be totally familiar with Isaiah, can you set the scene a bit? Like, who was he? And what was this big call to action he had to deal with?
Well, it starts with this incredible vision Isaiah has, right? The sermon describes it in detail, this grand throne room, angels everywhere singing holy, holy, holy. And the whole place is just radiating power, divine power, you know? It's like almost terrifying, but also inspiring.
I can imagine, yeah. And then right in the middle of all this, God asks, whom shall I send? Like, can you imagine getting asked that question in that setting?
I'd probably be like, is anyone else here?
Right. But Isaiah, even though he's clearly feeling totally overwhelmed, he says, here I am, send me.
Now, that takes some serious guts. Most people would probably just try to blend into the background at that point.
Totally. And the sermon touches on that. The fact that Isaiah probably had all those same doubts we have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even later on, he questions God. You know, asks how long his people will have to suffer, so it's not like blind faith exactly.
Right, he's still wrestling with it all.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point the sermon's making, that it's not about always feeling confident or knowing everything in advance.
It's more about the willingness to show up, even when we're unsure.
Exactly, and I think that's where the sermon really flips the script on what we think of as success. You know, it's not necessarily about seeing immediate results or achieving some big goal.
More about consistency, that steady commitment.
Yeah, that consistent willingness to serve, to just keep showing up, trusting that something bigger is at work, even if we can't fully see it.
Trusting the process.
Right. And the sermon gets real about the reasons we hesitate, you know? It lists all the classic excuses we use, like, I'm not strong enough, or I'm not smart enough, or even if God only knew my past, stuff like that.
And those are so relatable, right? Like, everyone, no matter what their background is, has those moments of self-doubt.
Yeah, it's like we're all trying to hide our imperfections, even though deep down, we know we can't.
It's that inner critic always whispering in our ear.
Yeah. And then the sermon brings up this really powerful image. You know, the one with the seraph touching a hot coal to Isaiah's lips?
Oh, yeah. I remember that, symbolizing purification, right? A fresh start.
Exactly. Kind of wiping the slate clean.
And in some traditions, I've heard that represents forgiveness, being made worthy in God's eyes.
Yeah. And even if you're not coming from a strictly religious perspective, you can still connect with that idea, right? Like, everyone has that need for a clean slate to move past their mistakes.
To not be defined by those past things.
Exactly. To not be defined by them. To realize that we don't have to be perfect to be worthy of pursuing a purpose, you know?
Yeah, that's powerful. It's not about earning worthiness through our actions, but more about accepting forgiveness and letting go of those things holding us back.
Right. It's a shift in perspective.
And a pretty empowering one, especially in a world where we're constantly told we need to achieve more, be more.
Totally. It's like the opposite of that whole hustle culture mentality.
And that kind of ties into that other point about not getting caught up in the outcome, right? The sermon talks about focusing on being faithful to the call, doing the work, and trusting that something bigger is unfolding.
Exactly. Letting go of that need to control every little thing.
Which is tough, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But the sermon uses this great example to illustrate this idea, the story of the church's food pantry.
Okay, so how does a food pantry connect to all of this?
Well, think about it. When those volunteers started that food pantry, they had no idea how big it would become or how many people it would help. But they stepped up anyway. They didn't wait for some guarantee of success.
They just started doing what they could, right?
Exactly. They were focused on the act of service itself, not on some predetermined outcome.
Yeah, and that's where the real success lies, you know? Like, they created this space for something much bigger to happen.
So instead of getting stuck in that what if it doesn't work mindset, they focus on what can I do today?
Right. And it's amazing what happened. The sermon talks about how that small food pantry grew into this incredible resource for the community, like way beyond what anyone initially imagined.
It's like a ripple effect, huh?
Totally. The small acts of faith and service can create these massive waves of change.
I love that, the ripple effect.
Yeah.
It really highlights the power of shifting our focus from the outcome to the act of service itself.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to Isaiah for a second, wasn't his message like not exactly a feel-good one?
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. Yeah. It wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. The sermon actually points out that he was tasked with delivering this message of hardship, like impending doom kind of stuff. Oh, wow. So not exactly what you'd expect from a prophet, right? You'd think it would be all hope and encouragement. Why do you think he was given such a tough gig?
Well, I think it speaks to something deeper about faith and service. You know, it's not always about easy solutions or instant gratification.
Sometimes it's about speaking truth, even when it's hard.
Exactly. Even when it's uncomfortable, even when you know people aren't going to want to hear it. And the sermon suggests that Isaiah himself struggled with this. Like, he questions God, asks how long his people will have to suffer.
Yeah, I can see why he'd feel that way. Oh. Who wants to be the bearer of bad news, right? But I guess it comes down to trust.
Mm-hmm. Trust that even when things look bleak, there's a bigger plan at play.
That there's a reason for it all.
And the sermon reminds us that even in those moments of doubt and uncertainty, our job is to remain faithful to the call. Just keep showing up, doing the work, even if we don't see the immediate payoff.
So it's about surrendering that need to control the outcome, trusting that there's something, some higher purpose guiding our efforts.
Precisely. And that resonates with so many different beliefs and philosophies, you know, this idea of surrendering to something bigger than ourselves, whether you call it God, the universe, the collective good. It's a universal human experience.
So how does the sermon connect all of this back to our own everyday lives? I mean, it's one thing to talk about prophets and food pantries, but how do we apply these ideas to our own, you know, regular lives?
Well, it challenges us to look at our own lives and identify those calls to action that we might be ignoring or putting off.
You mean those moments where you talked yourself out of it?
Exactly. Like, it could be anything from volunteering at a local charity to just listening to a friend who's having a tough time.
It's so easy to get caught up in our own busyness and convince ourselves that we're not qualified or whatever.
Right. And the sermon reminds us that everyone has something to offer.
Everyone can make a difference in some way.
Mm-hmm. It's about silencing those doubts, those feelings of unworthiness, and asking yourself, what's one small thing I can do today to move towards that purpose? You know, that thing that keeps tugging at your heart.
So how do we actually figure that out? You know, like, what our own call to action is. It's not like we all get a lightning bolt moment where it all becomes clear.
Yeah, the sermon actually talks about that, how it's often more subtle. It's about paying attention to those little nudges, those things that just feel right.
Okay, so like what kind of things?
Well, it could be seeing a need in your community, you know, like something you feel like you could help with.
Or maybe like reading a news story that makes you think, man, somebody should really do something about that.
Exactly. Or maybe it's more of a feeling, you know, like you feel drawn to a certain cause or activity, even if you're not sure why.
Like your gut is telling you to pay attention.
Yeah. And the sermon encourages us to really explore those feelings. Like, ask yourself, why does this resonate with me? What is it about this that feels important?
So it's not necessarily about waiting for a sign from above. It's more about listening to that inner voice, that intuition.
Right. And then once you've identified that nudge, that call to action, the next step is to ask, what's one small thing I can do? Like, what's one tiny step I can take to move towards that purpose?
I love that because it takes the pressure off, right? You don't need to have the whole plan figured out. You just got to start somewhere.
Exactly. And the sermon emphasizes that it's not about being perfect or having all the skills and resources right away. It's about being willing to learn and grow along the way.
Being open to the journey.
Yeah, it's like saying yes to the opportunity, even if you don't feel totally ready.
Embracing that uncertainty.
And that brings us back to that idea of worthiness, yeah. You know? Like, the sermon is really challenging us to shift our focus away from our limitations and towards possibility.
To stop saying I can't and start asking what if.
Exactly, to embrace the idea that we're all works in progress, you know? We're always growing and discovering new things about ourselves.
I like that. It's like that saying, we are pencils in God's hands. Like, it's not about us trying to write the perfect story. It's about being willing to be used to create something meaningful.
Yeah, and the beauty of that message is that it applies to everyone, right? No matter your background, your beliefs, whatever, it's tapping into that universal desire to make a difference, to be part of something bigger than ourselves.
And to realize that we all have something to offer, even in our imperfections.
Right, and the sermon ends with this really thought-provoking question. It asks, what call to action might you be overlooking or hesitating to answer because you feel unworthy?
Whoa, yeah, that's powerful. It's like a challenge to really examine our hearts and ask ourselves, what step can I take today? What can I do right now to move towards that purpose?
To say, here I am, use me.
To say yes to that possibility and see where it leads.
Because you never know. That one small step could be the start of something incredible. Something that ripples outward and touches countless lives.
So, listeners, as we wrap up our deep dive today, take a moment to reflect on that question. Where are you feeling that nudge? What call are you maybe hesitating to answer? And what's one small step you can take today to move in that direction? We can't wait to see what amazing things you do.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I hope this conversation has inspired you to reflect on your own journey and how you might respond to God's call in your life, no matter how big or small they may seem. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you'll be notified whenever we release new episodes. And if you'd like to learn more about who we are as a church and the ways that we serve our community and how you can be a part of it, visit our website at berwynumc.org. I'm so grateful to have you with us on this journey, and I can't wait to connect with you again next week. Until then, take care and remember, those small steps of faith can lead to something incredible. See you next time.